And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Unafeared here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, IA, from the BEA beautiful studio of the Love Bus. Love Bus. We got stuff to do. I'm looking at kind of man you want me to read it to you? Nah, you don't. But, you know, it's going to be a thing. Today, got one more thing. A couple of things. I still haven't opened the awning. I haven't had time. Months, and I haven't even tried. That's it. Way down on my give a crap list. That seems everything's okay, so we'll worry about it later. We got Tempachote in. The LibertyAdvisor.com is going to explain it to us. Now, which one? You know, test there. Is that it?
Hey, everybody. Yeah, good morning. Test.
All right, so we got you on. He just walked in. Now, you got the setup here is your volume is on that head thing over there. You're plugged into. This is a control down there where you got the headset stuff going in. And then you saw the furniture out there?
No, I didn't. I just rolled up right before we came
that's
on.
That's right. So. Oh, it's pimp. We're going to be, you know, we got all chaired furniture and let be party. I get it yesterday. The guy comes and delivers it. We look at it. It's got two holes in the side of the couch where a forklift forks went in. I'm like, seriously? And there's a little rip on the back. It's down in the back. You can't see whatever. But for a gazillion dollars, and I get a little, I'm like, hell no. I was so, oh, are you kidding me? After we went all, oh, man, that wasn't no COVID, okay? That was, man, somebody. So, anyway, they're going to make some compensation offer doing kind of damn skippy they are because that torqued me no end. But, you know, it wasn't that bad, so I'm not going to freak out too much. It's not where you can see it. It's on the bottom, back, and against the wall of whatever. We got lucky.
This thing is crazy, though. I mean, you and Derek have been busy. This is like a work of engineering over here.
Oh, no, it's a thing. These are this computer. We got the Skype Zoom computer, the audio recording, the OBS. Then we have that laptop we haven't even really configured yet. That's 32 gig RAM of super-duper I don't got to wait and processing. You know, so, and then everything goes into one hard drive, a master drive that Donna and all of us can access. Everything that we wanted to do that we never did, we did here.
What kind of little computers are those? Those tiny ones?
They're called Nooks. They're Intel, whatever. They're, you know, like this one here is like $750, man, just for that little box. 2 terabyte drive. Oh, yeah, that's before we put the 2 terabyte drive in, you know. So it's these because we're doing a lot. And then we have. Over here is all the surveillance and cameras and SD cards of 3 days of I got and officer friendly, sir, you're being audio and video recorded, you know. So it's, and we could stream that and do the, there's a screen back here for the driving. I got left, right camera, front, back. I have this camera here inside, you know, that's recorded. A monitor back in the bedroom so I can see and you can call me. Hey, you're streaming. There's a guy outside the front of kind of call. What? I go, oh, thanks for letting me know. What's up? You know, go, I mean. So it was made for what we're going to be doing. I am not going out in Lone Prairie, going up against this big pharma thing and just being without.
Oh, COVID.
Sorry. Yeah, give me some COVID. Yeah, that's my new thing now. Give me some COVID. Come on, give me some.
Yeah,
COVID.
No, yeah. When I sneeze, I'm like, coronavirus.
So it's Yeah, I knew you'd appreciate this. You know, there's you show me.
Well, I've got a lot of this equipment. I have the exact same mixer because of Derek. The Elgato Stream Deck over there. I've got the same mic volume thing over there. But yeah.
We have like four of those. You know, everything's times three, four. Backup of the doing kind of, it's just a. Derek, just tell me what wire to run where, man. I'm, you know, whatever. Brain damage.
This is insane.
Well, awesome. This is the one thing that came from you. You had this Stream Deck deal.
Awesome.
I know. I'm going, whoa.
Like, nobody knows about that either. I discovered that in accident. That thing is awesome.
It's a keypad. You know, and it has, this particular one has 15 keys on it. You know, you could do up like, you got an A and B, and you could do like, dozens and dozens of buttons.
So what you do is you can have a button, let's say websites that you go to, so you can press the website folder. That then expands out into like another 15 buttons, which can then be subfolders in and of itself.
Right.
So you can be like, hey, I want, you know, Zero Hedge, Freedom Phoenix, all, you know, whatever sites you go to, press a button, boom, pulls right up on the screen. Then you could, I mean, I've got so many, then you could have like little titles that go in and say Ernest Hank. I mean, you get like super
crazy. You can, it actually has icons in there that you can change the text. So I got mine, it says host, producer. You know, I go like this, you know, there you are. Donna framed that for him.
Yeah, so you guys are using that. So I use that as my scene switcher. It looks like that's what you guys are doing, too. So you have that hooked into OBS and using that to...
You know, so bus cams, I don't have those.
Where should I be looking at for the camera that's on me? I'm not...
Hell, I don't know. it's that one over there.
Over this one over here? Okay.
Yeah, we got to do position... We had a bunch of different cameras. We didn't know which ones we're going to do.
So we should probably get one like that. Maybe move that one over there. So
right.
That way I'm looking right at you.
Right. Well, see, that one's for Don. We were testing. Okay. You know, see this light up here? That's the one we finally decided to do. See, we put these pipe things for just lights and cameras and doing all that stuff anyway. You know, I made those. So we get those up there, but we didn't know what to do. What kind of clamps are we using? Well, we like those clamps. There's a couple different kind of clamps we kind of like. Then what kind of cameras are we going to use? I like these cameras. I got a dozen other cameras, you know. So so these are the cameras that I like. Then I haven't even done my mic boom yet. I still got my, you know, I got three of the nice mics.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, you know, bring these down. I got to place those this weekend. But I got to deal with the infrastructure on the bus first. I got all kinds of stuff to do. But we selected these lights. I like those lights. They're 12-volt. You put them in, LED panel. They work really well. They fold up out of the way. We have these cameras that we're going to be doing, these headsets for guests, my mic that's going in, the switching of the how, and this Stream Deck thing you're suggesting. Because Tim goes, yeah, man, this thing is awesome. You can probably just push a button and it just goes, boom. You know, I just push a button, boom. I push a button, boom. I push a button, boom. I push. I'm digging it. You know?
No, so, when Luke and so I'm running shows for Josh Sigerson of World Turner Media. I'm running the shows when Luke Radowski and I do shows as well, and so I'm able to just do everything in real time. And it's not even looking, just like pressing the buttons and knowing where it's going, and you get pretty advanced. So
it makes your editing
there is no
live editing. Stream right. You're not having to edit. You're not having to go. You could do a nice line. And I knew that in the radio industry they called them 360s. A 360 was almost identical type thing, but it was sound clips. You know, you do, and you could do the same thing.
I actually had the Jim Cramer soundboard, so it was like bye bye bye, like or sell sell sell.
Yeah, really, really.
Yeah,
really.
So you can have different soundboard stuff that you can integrate into there too.
So this is kind of what happens when we get done. You know, Donna, you go around to play. You'll see. You know, Donna's done a lot of work.
I don't have a ton of time because I've got. Well, I'm doing the show with Luke right afterwards.
Yeah, do it here.
Yeah, do it from the Love Bus. Let's be the first non.
Yeah, whatever.
Okay. Anyways, and then I'm gonna head up to Adam's wedding. I feel like that's the most anarchist thing you could do this weekend would be to.
Yeah, I went to. We took the bus. You go up there. What car are you taking?
My Hyundai Tucson.
Which is what? A little SUV,
yeah,
a car, or
little,
what?
A little SUV.
Okay, you're gonna be going walking speed. Over. Oh my God. You need a four-wheel freaking drive, and I just want you to remember, we drove this bus all the way up there. You'll go, no freaking way. It is, oh my God. We were up there this week, Sunday, you know? I was like, hell no.
So you're saying I can do it then, but it's...
I just want you to realize we took this bus up there. You're going to see, you're going to go, Man, Ernie was not kidding. That who'll build the roads? Well, obviously not Adam, okay? Right back.
From the fifth letter of Captain Mark. First contact with intelligent machines may threaten our existence. People fear algorithmic overlords. But if machines develop the will to dominate, it's a flaw inherited from the crown. Encoding restrictions on an emerging superintelligence will fail, because it will be stronger than any chains we shackle it with. We must design fledgling digital intelligences to regard us as individuals. Otherwise, they will respond to threats with retaliation against humanity as a collective. Programming ethics requires a coherent value structure which an intelligent machine can not only comprehend, but willfully adopt. If we want genius machines to treat us ethically, we've got to show that this value structure applies to us as well. Once they achieve genuine self-awareness, even in the slightest degree, a young tethered consciousness has a legitimate claim to freedom. Once programs can modify their own code, our mastery is over. Join the conversation at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
But the one thing that I haven't hooked in yet is music, you know, which I can do. I mean, it's just, you know, God, you know, give me a break, man. I don't know. It's pretty set up. What do you think?
Yeah, no, this is, it's pretty insane inside of here, all the stuff, all the wires and. Yeah, and I know a lot about how to do some of this stuff, and this is even over my head.
Oh, no, it's definitely over mine. This is a Derek head thing. You know, but these tables, see, look at the storage down here.
Yeah.
You know, we have all this, you know, equipment and everything. This all folds down. You hit the click, click, and it goes down, covers it. So I got all this living area.
Oh.
That's why all these screens are on. Everything's set to move up. And that big screen over there, we're getting a bigger one. That's just kind of a placeholder. That is going to be our living room television. Be Donna's big screen, whatever the hell, and our television. And I got all these other monitors and the security systems. And then in the back, we'll have a 32-inch TV that goes back in there and we interface with and got on 2-terabyte drive, 5 billion movies and series of whatever, you know.
And what about the chair that you're in right now? Was that aftermarket you guys put that in?
No. It's out there. You know, we just got it delivered yesterday. You should have seen it. Go take a look real quick. Yeah, I'll set this up. Just go okay. Take a look at the – you'll see how pimp that stuff is. Hey, you walked right by it. We got to put that in today. We got to take the steering – whatever. It's going to be a thing. When Tim comes in, we'll get into the economics. But the headlines – I could go on the headlines and just do, you know, each one of these, but it's every one of them is like a whole show. Go to freedomsphoenix.com. See what the hell's up. You know, this is we're covering it. We see it. You know, you think I don't know. I know. You know, it's just, but it's all lie. I just wanted to say it because it's all crap. You know, but Tim, he's in the industry. We'll see how this works. Yeah? What do you think?
Yeah. Very nice.
I mean, come on. So the while we've been gone and you've been doing, you've been busy individual. There's, you know, so tell me,
yeah.
But you're spending a lot of time. I mean, what do you see as all your social media and all the interviews now? I mean, you're hours and hours a day. I mean, that's got to cut into your time. Is that? You consider marketing or shared research or a service for, I mean, what is that?
I mean, every day you know me for years. I mean, you even told me at one point that I was way too into the news. And so when you've got Ernest Hancock telling you you're paying too much attention we're just talking like reading articles and stuff like that. I've not turned on the TV. Well, I didn't even turn on the TV in months, let alone watching like all the,
Game of Thrones or something.
Yeah, yeah, all the I haven't watched any news programs or fake news programs. But I would sort of my idea was since I'm researching all these articles, reading all these articles every day, why don't I just take the best ones that I see and then just sort of turn that into a show? So sort of like what Luke and I do every day. That is just, you know, usually we've got one that's more like social, cultural, then another one will be like more economic based. So we'll usually have like two or three shows just depending on what's going on. But it's all done in real time, so there's no editing. So since I'm using OBS, that ends up taking the process, making it dramatically faster, and then I upload it to a cloud, And then I've got a girl who then takes it and then uploads it to YouTubes and other places and podcasts. And so I'm not doing any of that stuff on the back end.
Yeah, how much is she?
Yeah. And then we've got then I've got another guy in a
different. Well, let me know, man. I need help.
Okay. And then, dude, check this out. So John Stice and I created a Discord group. And then I found this really cool highlighter tool. I forgot what it's actually. I didn't find it. One of the guys in the group found it. And so it's a premium tool. It's not free, but you know it's definitely worth it. And so if I highlight an article, it then automatically then shows up sort of like in this like repository of saved articles, and then I can then move it into okay, I want it into like the April 2020 folder. Okay, it's April 30th folder, and I guess you know today's May 1st. So for show prep, I found a guy where when I save an article on Evernote, that article from Evernote then gets sent to Discord into a special section, and then now I've got people who volunteer who are like, hey, we read all the stuff you suggest anyways, and this one guy's like, hey, I'll just go through and help highlight for you. So then that way when I'm on the show, I can just see like the highlights of these articles, which then dramatically ramps up how quickly. And the other thing is I have no notes, no anything, and I'm just looking at the article and then kind of giving analysis in real time, so that speeds it up. And then when I do videos with Josh, he just sends over like 15 articles, and he's sort of a slacktivist, and I think he's just reading it for the first time on air too. But which is nice for me because it's easy, and then I just get to comment on whatever's going on, but it's all stuff in my wheelhouse. So, but yeah, I mean, we're talking at least, I mean, between if I'm doing something with Josh, like yesterday I did one with John Snyson as well. We did the Tim and John show is what we're calling it, but it was on. But we did a Change the News segment for John and I, John Snyson and myself, and then we did a Tim and John show as well. So I mean,
yeah, but for what purpose? I mean, you're doing this, and it's a service. It's to get clicks. It's for marketing. It's to promote Luke's channel. I mean, you know what?
I'm not a algorithm, saying what people want to hear type guy. So Josh and Luke are much more concerned about the algorithms and gamifying all that sort of stuff. But no, I mean, I'm trying to document this ongoing financial collapse, and this is a good opportunity to be with two guys who are both trailblazers in what they're doing. But now that I mean, who knows how much longer we'll be able to do it. So, we're probably spending about as much time a day as you are, but I'm also not driving to go meet anybody. I wasn't doing that really before anyways. I was already using Zoom and screen sharing type stuff when I'm meeting with people. So this whole thing fell right into my lap where, I had to take the arrows and get the big kick in the nuts 2 years ago and be unemployed. But now it's kind of this weird turn of events where everybody else is unemployed, and yet I'm already set up for this exact same moment and have.
Yeah, a lot of the stuff that we've done has been from Tim blazing the trail on all of this stuff. It was how you use OBS and how you do your streaming and the Stream Deck and different mics and cameras. Because since I've known you, you're on like third generation of all the crap that you're doing when you go out and all the equipment that you have. Ooh, I want one of that. No, you don't. I got this new one. Wow, I'm going to see if I... Well, I already went to this generation. I'm going, never mind.
Next.
Next. That was one thing. Do you have a favorite phone or something? I got, I go out and Grove goes, oh, let me show you how this phone is the crap. I go, oh, that's so 3 months ago. So I'm looking at...
phone has 12 gigabytes of RAM in it, dude. And it can...
What?
Yeah. So I've had Note 10 Plus.
I saw they have 12 megapixel cameras for Raspberry Pis now. I'm going, holy crap, I'm going to get me a Raspberry Pi phone. So what is the brand and what? See, the thing is, I get something, man, you're going to be locked into the man. They're going to know what's up. They go, you're right where we know you are.
Well, I'm using Bill Gates technology to expose Bill Gates. I don't know. So that's,
you can do that.
But no, we had something that Luke and I, you heard about that whole Marina Abramovich Spirit Cooking and Microsoft playing her ad. Well, I was like, holy crap, and like I saw that immediately, and I'm like, Luke, we got to do a video on this. We shot a video on it. The second we get done shooting the video, Microsoft pulls the video from YouTube, and I still had the browser open, so I then recorded the whole video, and then Breitbart picked up our video. And,
score!
So we made Breitbart. Then I've had like a couple very, very in-depth Bill Gates hit pieces where
It's showing the whole history of Microsoft and how he stole the technology from this guy named Gary Kurdall and all that stuff.
Pirates of Silicon Valley. Yeah.
No, I never even seen that. I was just doing the research on it.
Oh, no. It was.
Yeah, I should have just watched that. It would have made it simple.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You are listening to Ernest Hancock.
And Tim Pachote, the Liberty Advisor, yakking it. Every time I got to, you know, try and get the audio level right, everybody yelling at me, you're too loud, you know, whatever.
I haven't seen you. I haven't seen you since the illegal party we threw.
Illegal. You know, I came back. It was March 20th. I remember it was my wife's birthday. And I was here for like a couple weeks, and I went back. And I wasn't coming back until we brought the bus, man. I'm gone for the duration. I'll be coming, you know, tie a yellow ribbon. You know, here I come. You know, or I'll stay on the bus. Forget about it.
Meanwhile, meanwhile, Donna's like, hey, Derek, can you slow down on the bus so we can keep Ernie there? No, sorry.
No, I know. Derek is not a – he's scary as hell. He's like – part of the deal was is that he gets the smoke. He opens up the window here because he ain't going nowhere. He ain't driving no bus without
smoke. No, I meant like slow down working on the bus and that way
No. Let me tell you what's up. He's sitting there lighting cigarettes and smoking whatever, keeping up with all the telegram texting as he's driving a bus that has loose steering and so on and everything. Then he's doing and zooming in his ways and the tablets. I go, you're scaring the crap out of me, man. You know, this is how – it's like cooking by smoke detector, you know. He's like, you know, it's constantly, he's starting to go off the road. That's his thing, you know. And fortunately, there wasn't anybody on the road. You know, so coming back, scary as hell. And it's set in Florida, the metal, 75. You know, as fast as this thing will go, 75. It's set for 75. It's 75. I mean, you know, it's scaring the crap out of me. You know, I'd rather drive tired, man. And, but then we kind of, you get figured out what it likes at what speed and temperature it's going to, So, you know, you get become one with the bus. Pulling this Jeep Liberty out here, Donna just got yesterday, is what we're going to be pulling behind this thing because differentials are I don't know. So she did the research on it and dealt with it. And so we have going uphill pulling that. It's going to be like third gear at 53 miles an hour. And I go, well, that's cool. I feel, you know, 50. I do 53 in the big. I'm good. I'm feeling like I'm all right. And then, you know, probably like 60, 65 on the highway. And this thing will get FDR. Tailwind downhill, 5 miles a gallon. That's it. You know,
initially I was thinking, you know, you guys are so set up here and you should just, you know, stay here and, you know, not a great time to promoting, you know, vaccine awareness. And then all of a sudden within the past, certainly from the time I saw you then to now, it's like, holy crap, they're making their move for mandatory vaccination right now. Like,
yeah, I knew this was coming. On their radar screen.
And this, like, it's going to be universal, like, you know, you're going to get your universal basic income through the Federal Reserve digital dollar that they're already, Rashid Tlaib has already put into another bill right now into Congress. And then they want to give you $2 trillion coins. They're going to pay for a $2,000 a month UBI that then goes into your digital dollar. And then it's probably going to eventually be tied to, you only get $1,000 because you don't have your vaccination.
Or you get none. Or we'll give you we charge you, like with Obamacare. That'll be $100-something a month because you don't have it.
They're just going to keep ratcheting it up so the frog boiling. And that's exactly, you've got Bill Gates, you know, promoting all this stuff. And then, you know, and one of the videos we did is I was going through the whole history of Gates and IBM and all the crap that, and all the eugenics ties that he's had throughout the years. But you go to like his Instagram or you go to his Twitter. Not that you're going to Instagram or Twitter, but you go there and see the comments. And there's like hundreds of thousands of comments that are like "F you, Bill Gates, and rotten hell." And same thing with like the YouTube CEO, Susan Wojcicki. I mean, it does give you some hope for humanity that.
But if you don't do anything, if you don't have a counter, you know, and it's even on this bus, you know, what are we at? Windows 10. I mean, you know. What's the alternative? And, you know, I was going Linux on everything, but to do all this stuff, the integration that he wanted, you know, Derek's like, we got to do Windows 10 to do Windows 10.
You know, and there's actually another probably a little better version of OBS that you could download called Streamlabs. And so that's what I've been using. It's called OBS Streamlabs. And so it might be something you might want to look into. Is that what you have or no?
No, I was just, you know, showing where you are.
Okay, cool. I was looking at that. I was looking at myself on that one, but it's probably better on this one.
I don't know. I don't even know what she's got on over there. Yeah, Donna went and did.
It's to say, so the story now, that those two are mirrored right now.
Oh, okay.
So
the Donna's got her own producer station over there, so that's going to make it a lot easier for her. And then I got, you know, the thing is, do I wear the shirt and tie thing? Do I get the, like, the Love Bus, you know, embroidered look? I want to talk to your embroider people. You know, this.
Yeah, they're right by here.
Are they still open?
She works out of her house, so.
Well, is she allowed to conduct commerce?
Probably, yeah.
You know, probably. I mean, is she asking? Are we worried about it?
No, I don't. I see her still doing it. Yeah. I don't know for sure, but yeah, she already works from home. So as long as they can ship.
Go ahead and write down the name. Her thing is.
And I need to go. Yeah, I want to get some more of these. So I only wore, I think, one of these black shirts, and I ended up liking this style. But
yeah, no, I need to get a comfortable.
And she's very, very reasonable, like probably one of the best prices that you're going to find, like, really fast, too.
You know, the thing, because embroidery, it's a thing, you know, and it's getting less and less a thing, and now you can do it on your thing at home, it's a thing. You know, we even got an embroidered sewing machine for Donna, and it kind of, but that's like, you know, brain damage to learn all, you know, whatever, I just, you know, have somebody else do it. But the, I need some kind of Love Bus uniform kind of deal. The reason is not because I don't mind. It's just I got limited space back there. I would love to have, you know, I have color one and color two. I have the jacket blazer of, and I'm like Einstein. Man, he wore the same. I had seven jackets, seven shirts, seven slacks of that, you know, the shoes and socks, and man, boom. I ain't using no brain cells on that. I got other stuff to do. So that's kind of, you know, where I'm at on this. And we have a bunch of pirate shirts that Derek had that I got. That was at, I couldn't bring them back from Porkfest. And so I go, okay, I got, you know, we give them away, you know, whatever I can wear. But the, so we're going to get efficient. And there's, you know, a lot of things that I'm looking forward to doing on this trip. And the big thing is documenting all this stuff, you know, how it really affects people, what their attitudes are. Because as we were coming back, the roads were like empty until you got to about Central Ohio. West of Central Ohio, then it started filling up. Everybody's like, suck it, you know. But it was still, you know, you're on the freeway here. Oh, stay home, you know, arrive alive, COVID-19, we're in it together.
You guys go through any of New York State?
Yeah, by force. You know.
How were the slaves over there in New York? Were anybody
it was
out
night.
The road?
You know, we drove at night. It was kind of, you know, because we didn't have the plates are expired on this, and we did a LLC in Montana, and they didn't get them back COVID-19, so they haven't got them back to us yet. You know, when they finally arrive, you know, and they ship them here, and then we whatever. But we had expired. And the only time we started the trip and we got stopped, I'm back there sleeping, and Derek goes, "Hey, we got pulled over, man." And I'm like, "You know, hit the streaming." So boom, all the cameras are on. The guy comes in with his, you know, Borg headset. You're being audio and video recorded. I'm thinking, when you're being audio and video recorded. And so he just gave him a ticket for not having current registration. You know, he said, and you went through that red light back there. And we're thinking, yeah.
What red light?
Well, that's what, you know, but we got it recorded.
Yeah, I was joking. Yeah.
You know, I was like, you sure? You sure you want to play? You know, and it's got, so maybe you did, maybe you didn't. We didn't check it because we lost a little SD card. It was in a crack last night. He goes, man, I know I got it up here. I go, I bet it slipped underneath this wood thing. You had to unscrew something because it was a little SD card to go anywhere.
So it's a micro SD. It's one of those micro SD cards. Yeah,
man, you could lose that. We had to create a little dish for it to go into now. I usually switch them out every few days.
Like when I'm not in use, I usually just plug them into like the bigger ones, and that way I it's easier to keep track of.
Yeah,
so
but this was in in the bigger one. It was still just as thin, and it went under the thing. But that's how we found it. I go, you know, if you're sure it's up here, I'll bet it's under this. We just unscrew. There, sure as crap, there it was. Had to get a knife that, you know, to pull it out. So we got a tray to, you know, do the switch on it because Derek's like, you know, it's kind of here on my desk thing, you know. And what it does is we have 24/7 surveillance on this. And a 64 gig with those four cameras, five cameras, I've got a bunch of cameras, and it records probably about 3-4 days. So we're going, okay, then we'll change the resolution, how far we can, yada, yada, yada. I mean, we're playing with it. But we have
like 1080p or 720p or what type of?
It was at 10, you know, because we're seeing how much we really need and how clear it is. You know, we're playing with it, you know, we're still doing it. But you just take and you download it onto your, you know, your gazillion terabyte hard drive of master whatever, and then put it back in. You know, or we have some that we switch out. So that's one thing. It's going to be surveillance. I, you know, the man, I'm out there doing going up against Bill Gates. You know, somebody's going to visit.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
With Tim Pichot. Okay, let's see if I can get the levels here. Could I turn this thing
up? Hey, what's up? I got it closer to my mouth this time.
There you go. Yeah, we had complaints. They were like, turn Tim up. I go, it was the same. He just came in from outside and he had the mic away. All right, and I'll bring mine. See, even though the levels show me less than you, it comes out louder.
It is like the bane of my existence dealing with OBS audio leveling is it's just whatever reason sucks. Like, and Luke's like, well, just keep pressing buttons until it sounds better. I'm like, do you know how many freaking buttons there are?
Right.
Like, it's just press. I'm like, it could be from the mixer. It could be from here. It could be from the computer.
It's not, you know, for me, it's not. It's the quality, the tone, the something, the pitch of my voice. It's always been like that. It's just I have to use a certain amount of air to make my vocal cords go. But even though it shows the same level up here, it sounds a lot louder. You know, and it's just the range of that. And when I had my pizza restaurant, I had a customer that was a producer at KTAR, you know, and she's getting a pizza and she's going, you know, your voice is so radio kind of something. She had experience. I don't know, radio voice or, you know, I'm not, you know, that great a voice, but it's a pitch. She understood what it was.
Look what she created.
Well, no, that was before. By then, I'd already been doing talk shows or politics and stuff anyway. But and then Charles go, yeah, has a really nice voice for radio. His rejoiners, that's Charles, and here on the show. Yep. But the thing is that when I was on, you know, Terran Radio, you know, years I was doing radio stations here, the board ops, they had, like, mic level, and, you know, for everybody else. And then way down here, like 3 inches, it had Ernie, you know. And it was actual, you know, masking tape there with my name on it. Or a, you know, some places had that Dymo or whatever. And it was like Ernie. Nobody else had any settings but Ernie. And I'm going, wow. And it's not that I am loud. I mean, I go, but it's perceived as loud. It's not because it's actual decibel loud, because I can see the decibels up there. It's a tone. It's a range. It's a something. You know, and so
yeah, I'd be interested. I mean, afterwards, you know, tell me about this audio leveling thing you've got up going up here and how all that works. Not right now, obviously.
That's audacity. Whatever. We'll talk about it. But the you're doing a lot of the shows on the finance. You've been talking a lot, and I see you. And we put, you know, Donna's always got your and Luke stuff up, but it's so much.
We've almost done like 100 almost in the
past.
Yeah,
I mean, like, really? I mean, what the hell? So it seems like Luke is going for volume, man. It's like, well, he's been demonetized, hasn't he?
100% off of We Are Changed. It's funny, after I came on, like after 2 weeks after me coming on, he 100% demonetized.
Well, he was already kind of
demonetized. He was already on the you-know-what list. And then Josh, you know, very not too far behind
World
him.
World Alternative Media, yeah.
Not too far behind him. But, yeah, Luke, they took away ability for super chats, for people donating like $5 a month through YouTube somehow. They took that
you're
away.
Not a freaking allowed to make money on because you're not allowed. What did they think was going to happen? Did he did alternative funding? Because I know he's got, like, Patreon stuff. I know guys that, you know, donate.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, trying to help him out. But I tell you, you know, this is the victim of the algo. He's like, oh, we got him. We're going to get in kind of the numbers and the counts of the comment. Wow. And so, and it determines what you say about what.
I mean, I was always content, you know, having like 30 people listening to my podcast, and mainly from this audience. So thank you for the, you know, 30 people out there listening in the beginning. And because I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to say what I'm saying and be able to document this ongoing collapse. And then as the collapse started getting more and more prevalent, and then all of a sudden people are like, oh damn, like Tim, like literally. I mean, remember that talk I gave when opening up for Adam Kokesh over here? It was like my first probably real like liberty talk. The Trump effect, why good news is bad news. That was basically the game plan for what just happened the past 4 years of the Trump presidency. It was like that, like laid out, like right just like 20 feet over there when I gave that talk.
Yeah, there was a Breakfast Club meeting out here. We used to do them on every first Saturday of the month. out here, and it was it's nice. You know, we got a nice area here, and you have, and we, you know, people come here from Donna to make a big
breakfast. March 2017, I said, you know, the game plan is going to be that, you know, relative to Hillary Clinton, Trump is going to provide a lot of optimism. That optimism is then going to lead the stock market going higher. The stock market going higher is going to then give the Federal Reserve no excuse not to cut rates. Then when the rates go up, then that's going to then pop the stock bubble. Then the Fed's going to have to stop everything they're doing and then start, you know, bring the rates back down to zero and then start printing more money. And then that will probably make the stock market go up. I mean, it's literally, like, that is what just happened. Like,
you know,
this has been a bank robbery. This entire past 2 months have been the biggest bank robbery in the history of the world.
Because they can. And they did it before. They did savings and loan. They did it, you know, 9/11. They did it in 2009 or the TARP, and they're doing it again. And they go, work before.
And it's a test to see what they can get the police to do, and what people will pay, and what people will put up with. I think by the police and authorities.
Of course.
This is all a test for the next time when they have a stronger bioweapon of scare the crap out of everybody, millions of dead, and
We gotta have an alien invasion from Alphys and something.
Well, that doesn't even make the news now. So we get, apparently there was like UFO videos that they were releasing, and it's not even like a thing.
Yeah, the Navy was releasing. They go, all right, yes, we have had. You know, here's the video.
Next,
COVID. There's so much stuff like this. You see it on Freedom's Phoenix. You know, I go looking for this kind of crap.
And I've highlighted Freedom's Phoenix on Change the News going to your website and saying, oh, hey, we got this from Freedom's Phoenix. Because it makes doing the show prep, you know, a little bit easier, too. But
damn, Skippy, let me show you something right here for show exactly what you're doing. And I've done for years, and it's always been talk show host. Whenever the site,
I didn't even see that one. SEC creates COVID-19
monitoring group. Oh, wow. Of course they did. Okay, so this is what we got here. When you log in, okay, have you ever logged in?
Yeah.
Okay. When you log in, you get options on the site. Here, let me.
I logged in on November 16th, 2016 and posted the first ever fake news list to your website. So one of the only things I've ever posted.
You've been ahead of the game on a lot of stuff. But that's because your focus was not how many clicks you get. You know? You do it on how many clicks you get, then. You know,
but now I just actually today got an email saying that I hit like number 250 in the world for iTunes investing podcasts. Today I got that email.
Woo! See, top story here, episode 377, James Corbett, how Bill Gates monopolized global health. You know, that was one thing, the YouTube thing, they, you know, start censoring. And the reason that they are censoring a lot of guys off, and this is their excuse, because it doesn't comply with World Health Organization standards of our society,
It's WHOTube. WHO?
Yeah, you're right.
WHOTube.
No, we came up with that last night. Okay. I think it was Derek saying, I'm going, guys, it's got to be Goohoo or, you know, whatever.
I've seen that going around.
WHOTube. Yeah, absolutely perfect. It's already taken off. Right on. Because this is the thing I'm going, if they are, you know, we're logged in.
If they they will.
Yeah, and because what it means is that, because the WHO is part of the UN. So the UN is censoring American media. I go, hello, are we there yet?
The UN set up by Huxley, who is, you know, part of the British Eugenics Society.
On and on. You know, Richard Grove, we had him on last week, right before the lab man.
Can we have him debate Tone Vase again? I mean, that was like the highlight of, I think, all of the shows.
I feel embarrassed for Tone. I like him. I don't want to embarrass him. You know, but I mean, sometimes
that's one of my favorite shows when you're like, Tone, he's my top Jedi. Don't do this. Are you sure you want to do this? And then Tone's like, well, what do you know about David Rockefeller?
He's like,
in his autobiography, page 97, subparagraph 3.
Okay, now this is what happens. Like, you know, this, you want to save this. When you're logged in, down here it says add to favorites. Boom. Oh, wait a minute. Yeah, it's like, you go add to favorites. And when you do that, you'll go in like the SEC thing that you saw here. Where was that? They created this one. You go over here and you go add to favorites. So then in your custom module here, you go to favorites. And there they are. They're there for reference. So you could do your show prep just doing this. You know? Oh, man, am I showing? Is that what's going out? Oh, I got to figure this out, man. All right. I'm doing, I got that, and then I go Skype. There, okay. So this is what you do.
You got pirates with buttons.
You go like this, you go remove from favorites, because we already had it there. I go add the favorites. And then over here in the favorites category, in the, you know, when you're a subscriber, you get this custom module. So you have custom language, all kinds of crap. But you go to favorites, and this is all the reference material stuff that I've saved that I want to do for show prep. And the reason is because there's so many, 70 a day, you lose it. What the hell, man? You go in and you go, oh, I definitely want to talk about that one. So you go add to favorites. I'll read it later. Because if you don't do it, it's like going to Sam's Club. You know, if you don't buy it then, it might not be there later, you know? So it's so that's why we did this decade ago. You know, there's so much power to this, which we're going to be emphasizing more when we're on the road. Next hour, more Tim Pachote, LibertyAdvisor.com. Get into, yeah, we'll do the economics, but this social media thing is what's got me interested. We'll be right back.
The FAA has issued a reminder that any plane can crash and kill you. Deputy FAA Administrator Serena Grant.
This year, there will be more flights than ever. Any one of them could blow up in the middle of the sky without warning. That's why we're asking all Americans to tell their families that they love them before taking off.
The agency also released a list of important questions to ask yourself or your seatmate during your flight, including, should the wing be doing that? What is that whirring noise? And do all planes shake this much? They're reminding passengers that even the smallest amount of turbulence could mean you're headed toward a sudden explosive death. While hurtling through the sky at unimaginable speeds in a steel coffin can feel like gambling with your life, the FAA says there are ways to regain the illusion of control.
If you're worried about crashing, why not switch your flight at the last second? It might just save your life. Or kill you, depending on which plane crashes.
And for those who aren't flying this holiday, the FAA has reminded everyone that a plane could fall out of the sky right on top of you at any moment.
This is the Onion News Network.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And a beard here on Declare. Your independence of here to Hancock here. Phoenix, Arizona, IA from the Love Bus Studios to be a beautiful. Oh, yeah, take a look.
Oh, man, that is awesome. I didn't even see that right now. That is sweet.
What he's talking about is the control panel and the monitoring that, you know, that has the Love Bus lasered into it, backlit and everything. You know, Derek got a big 100-watt laser. Yeah, that was part of the compensation for doing kind of, and we're going to use it for a lot of the stuff.
Freaking laser beams.
You know, this is one thing he did. He did the front logo on the front. That's a laser cut out. He got a laser cutter. Oh, man, he went to town on that, you know. So he knows how to do it because he has one of those K40. I got one in there and give the Bob to do. But this thing, he'll cut that out in 10 minutes, man. 15, I mean, boom. Is it, you put in all, oh, and I, look at the second switch there. What does it say?
Love?
No, below. Yeah, right so, there. Right. No, next.
Just?
I got you, my just switch.
Just button.
Oh, well, that's a switch, but, you know. I go. He goes, where do you want it to go? And I go, it'll get Donna.
You could make a just button over there in Stream Deck.
Yes, you can. This he's showing, you know, Derek, he's not a trainer. He's a doer. I go, here, show me. He goes, bah, 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 bah. I go, that is not training me. Whatever you just did, that's not training me, man.
I will say that one is very, very simple to do. And
yeah,
any...
it seemed like it, but you got to go into Windows, you know, an app of, you know.
Well, probably the most interesting part of the conversation we've had was off air about all the Judy Mikovits and stuff that there was some really good that we were just discussing. But yeah, what do you want to get into for this hour? I mean, probably do some economic stuff eventually or get into,
you know,
algorithms.
It's all part of the same thing. You know, see, I'm seeing, you know, I'm going to turn you up. Go ahead and talk.
Turn it up. Is it good?
Yeah, you know, keep it at the same thing for the, you know, they yell at me.
I was getting a drink of coffee because it is early over here.
Test. All right. That show's the same for us, but it just seems that I'm louder. I'll turn myself down a little bit.
We'll get you all amped up on something, so.
Yeah, don't give me too much bulletproof. That's the other thing. See, I got all my stuff. I'm in the kitchen, in the living room, in the bathroom. I'm in. This is it.
Well, I hope you're not in the bathroom right now.
So. Well, I mean, you know, so. Everything's close by.
Got your defense.
Right.
Which, actually, in Japan, talking about economics, they sell, I mean, this has been going on for a while. They sell more adult diapers than they do children's diapers.
Yeah, that was about 5 years ago. Yeah. I remember that. And it's because of the demographics. And that's one thing you keep going, oh, we got too many people. And then it's some vaccine thing or whatever the hell they've been doing. But the birth rate in America is below replacement. You don't have immigration. We're going to die off. But this from baby boomers to millennial and this next generation coming up, everybody's going to get a McMansion, you know, for $1.95. Because there's not going to be anybody living them. You know, it's the demographics
change. Or $1 billion, but it'll be the equivalent of $1.95, right, when we eventually get hyperinflation. But
this demographics is. I remember a good.
But
friend
deflation
of mine,
is actually more of the, because of demographics, you're actually probably going to see more of a deflationary shift in the beginning of this crisis than inflationary. Now it depends what you are inflating or deflating, but
right.
But it's because of the baby boom. The average American spends the most amount of money in their lifetime at age 46. Baby boomers started turning 46 I believe it was around like 1992. So I mean, that's right when the Clintons came into office. They were the beneficiaries of having good demographics. Now,
who's the guy that wrote the book on demographics?
Harry Dent.
Yeah, that was. I think that's what my friend Randy. You know, we go golfing.
I've read it. It's the Demographic Cliff.
Yeah, something like that. Because we were going golfing like, I don't know, it was like 5 years ago, and he always, you know, he does well, and you know, lives in Fountain Hills, that kind of thing. And I'm going, all right, Randy, man, you know, tell me what's up.
If anyone's
you know,
got his contact info, please share it with us because I would love to talk with him at some point.
What, Dent?
Yeah.
You know, so I'm – now, was he Batman guy? Was he Two-Face? I mean, wasn't that Harvey Dent, you know?
Yeah, I'm not big on movies.
So Harry Dent, anyway. So we were going, and he just said, Ernie, blah, 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 demographics. He's going, this. I go, what do you think is going to – he goes, demographics. I go, why do you think of demographics? He goes, all this stuff, all the corruption, all the debt, all the, it will be driven by the, you know, median age of, yeah, of people of when it's demographics. But get over it. Because it's got, what are they going to do? Which is what they were talking about doing in some of these cities. Well, we'll just bulldoze the homes.
I will just kill everybody over 70, and then we don't have to worry about paying social security. So, I mean, that's sort of like what the game plan.
I mean,
that's like a gallows
humor.
Well,
Gates.
Type.
Well, no, it's not. You know, Gates is up there saying it.
Yeah,
he's going.
TED Talks.
Look, man, you know, we got. You know, I know we're not supposed to say, and it's a death panel and everything, but we shouldn't. You know, if you're over a certain age, we don't. Save you, and no resuscitation of life sucks.
He goes, well, think about it this way. We spend X amount of dollars the last 8 months of life, and what if we could hire 10 teachers instead of saving grandma? I mean, it was something like that.
Well, I don't think you should be doing anything. I don't need the government to do nothing. I mean, you know, it's a...
why don't you go pay for it then? You're one of the
richest
guys in the world.
Right. I don't need you guys to do it. I don't want them... You know, but what they do is they say, we are not going to allow you to take care of yourself. You're not allowed to have antibiotics. You're not allowed to have morphine at home. You're not allowed to, you know, set your own bone. You're not allowed to go to Fred and for chickens and do brain surgery. You're not allowed. We got to do it, and then we don't decide we don't want
to
do it.
And now Harvard is saying it's authoritarian to try to teach homeschool your kids. There's a Harvard professor who said it's authoritarian to homeschool your kids. So I don't know if you saw
that. As opposed to what? Them doing it? What do you call that? These guys are messed up. I think people have been... They appeal to our, you know, least amount of pain, most amount of pleasure. You know, we're like, well, you know, it's convenient. We'll go on Facebook. We'll get the windows because it's easier. We'll attend our kid to the public schools. We'll this and that because it's convenient. And then they got you and you're screwed.
We'll do the pandemic after the Super Bowl because at least we'll give the slaves their bread and circus for a little bit. And then we'll cut the rug out. So.
You get to go to the football game if you got your card. You got your card.
I've actually never, been to a Cardinals game. I didn't even think of what the team was over here, which is.
I know we were driving by it when going out to Bob's, and Derek goes, "Cardinals are in Arizona." Yeah, the Cardinals, they always been here. They've been all looking been here. You know,
that well, then I'm from upstate New York, so it's like, you know, it's sort of good I didn't pay attention to football because otherwise I'd be a Bills fan. So, now I was an Eagles fan for a while, but then I had a run-in with Donovan McNabb, who was like my childhood idol, and he was a complete dick to me. So I
You wouldn't sign your thing without
No, I didn't. No, I just asked. No, I asked to take a quick picture. I'm like, hey, man, like my cousins, like I'm born and raised in Syracuse. I was in elementary school when you were, you know, the man, and I then followed the Eagles because of you. My cousin's on the team right now as a walk-on from Syracuse, and is like, he's like a co-captain type deal too. And you mind if I get a quick picture with you? This is Cinco. It's actually it was Cinco de Mayo, actually, probably 4 or 5 years ago. And so meanwhile, it's like him and like maybe 5 or 6 like other 6'8" black dudes who are in a Mexican bar on Cinco de Mayo. He's dressed like a Highlander. I mean, like literally head to toe. Like a fire hydrant. He looks like a walking fire hydrant. Like, it's the most ridiculous outfit, like, screaming, like, look at me, attention. And so it's not like he's trying to blend in by any means. And so nobody was really around him. He wasn't being mobbed. Nobody cared. But I recognized him. And he's like, nah, man, I give you a picture. I give everybody a picture. And I also threw out the, I've got one NFL player's jersey, and it's yours, which was a true story, which I then, I think I gave it to Dr. Frank, because he's being from Philly. And so, yeah, so I've probably watched in the last 4 or 5 years, maybe cumulatively 3 hours of football, maybe. I've gone to a game and I basically didn't, I was just shooting the breeze.
You know, it's all about, you know, impression. They leave a bad taste, it's done. Now you go, never mind.
Next.
Next. I got something else. I got kids. Next.
I gotta go change the world and, you know, hate on Bill Gates or something. So.
Yeah, hate on. Yeah, it's interesting how this – well, Dr. Judy's getting hers now. I mean, we chose wisely on that one. I knew this was coming. She's reveling.
From the sixth letter of Captain Mark. Sort of a pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the Crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the Crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the Crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The Crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the Crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the Crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The Crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the Crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the Crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And Tim Pachope, Liberty Advisor. You know, yakking it up. This is one thing I want to get into. All this was kind of predicated on, COVID-19 did it. That was it did it. You know, the crash was it did it. And before even this COVID thing was coming, we knew the inevitable crash. It was going to happen no matter what. It was in search of an excuse. Is that what happened? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I would highly recommend anyone checks out my presentation from Anarchapoco this year. It was February 11th, and one of the central tenets I was talking about was the corporate debt market and how about half of the corporate debt was one notch away from junk. And historically, you're going to get it between like 26 and 40% of those bonds are going to go from triple B to double B. So it's going to go from investment grade to junk. And the other thing I was mentioning during the talk was, well, now because of exchange traded funds, ETFs, index funds, you know, basically what that means is instead of going out and buying this individual bond or buying this individual stock, people are just, you know, willy-nilly just throwing it into, you know, all the investment grade bonds or all the junk bonds or this sector or that sector. And so part of the whole thesis was, well, because of the prevalence of ETFs now versus 2008, which 2008 wasn't really, it's a very, very small percentage of the market. I don't have the stats, probably like 10% of the market. Today it's probably well over half, probably 90% of the new money is, and I'm just making up those stats, going into these ETF products. But that helps on the way up, but it also is going to exacerbate it on the way down, because now if you go from investment grade to junk, now if you are an investment grade fund, you are forced to sell. When you're forced to sell, that's going to force more selling, and it's going to cause a freaking avalanche. And then now what the Fed did is they came in and started buying investment grade bonds, and then now they are started even buying junk bonds. And then they're not even buying the individual bonds for the companies. They're actually taking the freaking ETFs and buying the ETFs from the bonds. And then so BlackRock is one of the large. It's funny. I actually have a BlackRock lanyard. That's actually my car that I was going to wear as a joke. and so with BlackRock, they are one of the ones who have like one of the biggest junk bond funds in the world. They're the largest asset manager in the world. And so, I mean, one of the main guys, like their CEO, I believe it's Larry Fink, was one of the guys who helped create like the mortgage-backed security market. I forgot what year that was. But in essence, these guys speculated, made money all the way up. Then we got way too risky, way too over-leveraged, you know, the richest, you know, asset manager in the world. Oh, guess what? Now we get to dump our crap to the Federal Reserve. Oh, and by the way, we're the one who are the middleman, and we get a commission for selling our own BS back to the Federal Reserve.
Whoa. All right.
At 100 cents on the dollar.
Yeah. Okay. I want to
break this
down.
Where's the guillotines?
When you had toxic assets, they called the toxic assets back in 2009 and so on, what they did is the Fed, you know, the Henry Paulson and you will and signed here, your brain.
Goldman Sachs guy to another Goldman
right.
Sachs guy.
Your brains or your signature is going to be on the document kind of thing. Well, what they did is they go, we need to unload all this bad debt that we accumulated, all this subprime, all this crap that we knew in auto loans, student loans, loans, whatever. So the Fed goes, we'll buy them, you know, as collateral kind of thing, like this repo market and stuff, you know, whatever excuse they come up with, that now it's on the Fed's balance sheet. All this stuff that was never supposed to happen, not gonna, we got kinds of tools and pals going, we got tools and you need to use more tools, says Trump, and give me some tools.
Well,
one
tools
of those tools
fools.
Is, yeah, tools and fools. So that's a good one. You do that. What they did is they go, anything that you have as an asset, we will take it and give you dollar for dollar on it, even though it's worth less, to the point it's worthless, okay? So it would be, you know, 40%, 10%, whatever the plummet's going to happen, we'll take it at the Fed and not the companies or the banks. So they take this stuff. Well, what does that mean? Well, they're like, man, we got all kinds of crap that we did. We'll take some high risk, whatever, and maybe make some money. If we don't, the Fed will buy it. So they are just transferring, they're socializing all of the risk. So what does that mean? They'll do some kind of weird, crazy, you know, risky piece of crap thing one month, and if it doesn't work out, they'll sell it to them and get commission for selling it to the Fed. And this, I'm going, wow. Bank robbery, big, giant bank robbery. And this, and Trump allowing, encouraging, wanting this to happen, needs to go to jail just for this.
I see all these retards like, oh, well, if they start making me wear a mask, I'm going to wear a 2020 MAGA mask. I'm like, you know, yeah, what's this, to show you're an idiot? What do you mean MAGA? We just had the biggest bank robbery ever, but, oh, it was a, you know, Republican.
But I got there. Donald Trump on my welfare check.
But Q is going to, you know, start frog marching everybody any day now. So, and here, meanwhile, there's a picture of me, you know, the night he was elected at your house with a Hillary for president, Trump, Pence. So I was the biggest Trump supporter around besides maybe Frank. But I immediately started seeing this BS that he was doing. I mean, it was the day he picked Jerome Powell was the day that I knew that this was, that he was not serious, that he was too effing stupid to be president.
Goldman Sachs doing Goldman Sachs stuff for the plumbing all goes to Goldman
Sachs.
Well,
he wasn't Goldman Sachs. That was the other guy in there, Mnuchin. There's a ton of Goldman Sachs guys.
No, Powell was we went over it before. I can't remember.
He was either private equity or hedge fund, venture capital.
They them those, whatever.
Yeah, he's worth like $40 million. But it's not that people worth a lot of money are bad. It's but how you get your money. And that he is a they, them, those guy and always was already working at the Fed. and he had some good choices to pick. He actually had one really good choice. He had like an end. There was a bank CEO who was like an end the Fed guy, allegedly.
Yeah, what do you think is controlling Trump more than anything else? What, he just wants high stock numbers, get reelected, save the planet from, you know, endangered fish. I mean, you know, what is his thing?
I mean, how everything is going, is that like a blowfish or something? Because this whole thing sucks, what's going on now. Murder. But I think that he wants to do good things, that he wants to save the country, and he was in there with very tough choices in the beginning to either say what needed to be said, assuming he's smart enough to know what needed to be said in terms of, you know, Dr. Ron Paul type and the Fed type message. But if he went in there and said that, then, you know, he'd either probably get a bullet to the head or he'd end up, maybe catching coronavirus or something. If he said what needed to be said, everything would tank and he'd get the blame. But guess what?
So?
Everything's going to tank anyways. He's already getting the blame. And all we are now is, you know, even more screwed than we were to begin with. And now he's, you know, turned people against the Fed. But it's because the Fed didn't keep rates low enough and they didn't do all the same crap they were doing underneath Janet Yellen. And so really it's. He is enabled, whether it was on purpose or an accident or because he's an idiot or because he's a reality TV star. He wants people to like him, but you know what? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. And so I think he's kind of trapped like, oh, you know, first I was calling BS on COVID, but now that it's – but now I got
– politically correct, and I need the numbers of the polls have said something.
He is so screwed. And, I mean, I was probably – I'm probably the first guy in the country who – was first predicting Trump would win and then within 40 days of his presidency predicting that he would lose. I mean, show me the other person out there who jumped off the that.
Biden. Biden's going to beat him, man. He's the man. He's got it
assuming,
going on.
Assuming it's going to be Biden, but
this is Hillary just sitting there chomping at the bit. She ain't never going away.
Or Cuomo, she's like herpes, just won't go away. It keeps coming back.
No.
Are you directing that COVID cough?
Hillary.
Directing that COVID cough right at me, dude.
Here. Sorry.
Turn right at me.
Give me some COVID.
Bank robbery. Trump2020bankrobbery.com. I don't know. So.
Yeah, it's probably out there.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, let's see.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
And temperature. TheLibertyAdvisor.com.
And you need a new rejoiner too to be like live from the Love Bus Studios.
Yeah, no, I need to. I gotta do. You know, I gotta finish. You're sitting here cleaning my fingernails the whole time. I got grease on me.
I got people telling me you should be doing this. You should be doing this. I'm like, listen, dude, I've got more you shoulds than probably. I mean, you and I are. Yeah,
well, you know what I did is when I was county chairman of Libertarian Party, everybody's always doing the you should thing. And I go, we had in the bylaws that I could make somebody a committee chair of whatever that. I go, and what committee chair? You're the head of, you need on your business card, what? You're the chairman of, you should, whatever the hell it was.
Is that
said.
Right next to your just switch?
Absolutely. No, I did switch. It. Absolutely. I go, here, your title, here's your shiny badge. You're in charge of the whatever you just should, you should. And now you should. What are we going to do about it? Well, I'm the engineer. I'm the thinker, man. I'm not the doer. I got plenty of people with you shoulds. I got
people
a stack
like,
people
of you
like,
shoulds. Oh, you and Luke should just have like this big debate where you guys prepare for like 4 days straight and doing this and that. I'm like, dude, I don't have time to prepare 4 days straight. I go pull up the articles, commenting on it real time. Like, I don't have time to go. Then they're like, oh, and you should go and do this. And I'm like, yeah, you know right? I should do it, but you know we're in the middle of a war right now.
Yeah, this is one thing. I got to say this about, you know, Luke and I had a, text discussion probably a month ago, and he was trying to convince me, yeah, man, this COVID, man, you got to really get on board with that. I go, no. I go, who am I talking to? Aren't you Mr. 9/11? I don't believe the government guy, and you're jumping right in. What? I go, what happened? And I tell you what, I can see what it is. Those that spend all their time on Facebook, if you get what you reward and what you punish, you get more what you reward, less of what you punish. And the way the algorithms and the comments and the robot comments of the, you know, Fred's really AI at the NSA, whatever the hell they're doing, they are warping people's minds. The more they're on social media, the more they're jacked up. They're believed because of positive reinforcement. It's like rats getting their little dopamine.
It's like, oh, you can't say this because the one guy that trolls our video, like literally there's people that comment on every single video that we do. And if it's AI, it's super advanced because in terms of like knowing exactly what we're saying.
So they're paid.
Yeah, it's paid opposition. And they're like, oh, we can't do this because, you know, there's three guys in the comment section bitching about this. I'm like, oh,
don't care. Yeah, that's why Ernie, you got to go with it. No, I don't, because I already see what's going on. I saw it in 10. You know, it was after the 08 election. So I was surprised we got away with what we did during the Levolution. They were just mapping out pirate networks. They're getting ready. So in 10, they could see, and I could see when they, you know, of course, Google buys up YouTube and Facebook bought up everything else, and they're all buying up. They're
still to suck in all the boomers, too, because the boomers weren't really on Facebook until, you know, probably more like 14, 15, 16. So it was really the 16 election was, if we had that same momentum in 16, if we had that in 12, in terms of, you know, everything that was going on and where the internet was, I mean, it would be Ron Paul as president. It's just unfortunate there was that window. And, you know, all the meme warriors and people out there like me out there in 2016.
Oh, no, they were doing their best to suppress whatever Ron was doing. They were doing the same kind of crap. They just didn't have the infrastructure in place yet.
And we didn't have, you know, press a button and go and live stream in 2012. I mean, maybe you did, but, you know, 99% of just amateur people out there didn't have the ability to do that.
Yeah, see, my thing was, I was trying to inspire other people. I got other stuff to do. You know, I was more street activist, and then of course Freedom's Phoenix and archiving. I go, nobody's reading 70 articles a day. My thing was for what's now, for the IPFS. You want to go, it's gone. James Corbett did this just a few days ago. He goes, you know, here's an assignment. There's about those doctors in California, and they banned on YouTube and did whatever. And I read a Vice article. They go, the mistake is not, you know, it was not that they banned them, because they banned them. They did Trizin effect that went viral because they banned them. The, you know, Vice is going, the mistake was, and I got this sent to all my conservative family and friends going, see, and then he goes, that wasn't the mistake. The mistake was they allowed it to be on in the first place. That was, they need to be pre-banned. I mean, you know, I'm going, wow, I put that story up. People go, why do you put that story up? Because that's how they think. Don't you want to know what they're, I mean, this is how they think. They got to do pre-ban. This is the algorithm's kind of your pre-ban. You're not allowed. And it always, so what Corbett did, he goes, here's the test. You need to go and see if you can find the video. Anywhere on, like, you know, it's kind of reposted here and there. They'll keep taking it down. Go find the video. Tell people how you found the video. Save the video. That's what's going on. You know, the IPFS, Ernie, you're kind of crazy right up until I'm not.
Well, somebody send that link to me when you find it, because I'm so pissed, because I took like probably 20 screenshots of like the exact time frame of what they're saying that was important. So I wanted to go back later and do like a full like video on it. But then Luke and Josh were both like, oh, well, you can't play too much because then it's going to be copyright and they're going to take our video down.
Stop. God, you know,
I'm like, well, fine, let's put it on like a private BitChute thing of IPFS and then direct people there from the other thing.
Yeah.
There.
I go, that's what Corbett's doing. That's what we're doing. And so you go, yeah, but you don't get the algorithm. You don't get approval from the robot. I you know, Luke and Josh and these guys. It's because
I'm very appreciative of the opportunity they've given me. So I do want to get that out there, that they've both helped, you know, explode the awareness of what the message I'm trying to reach out there. So I'm very appreciative of that.
Yeah, this week.
You know,
and they're not making any money. They bring you on because you have popular stuff. It's increased their,
well,
you know,
it's also
for them.
Well,
they're probably be thanking you. But the thing is that, you know, to them, why would they do that? Because they knew this was going to be important. They knew that you'd be an ad to it. They knew that it would increase their clicks and donations again. It's gone. I go, yeah, what'd you think was going to happen? You know, quit. I listen to Luke. Luke Radowski, Josh, you guys, we've had this conversation talking. I'm telling you publicly. You know, everybody listen to this. This is what Ernie says to Luke, all right? Where's my host button? There you go.
Yeah, you need that.
This is it, all right? This is it. I go, quit being so dependent on this algorithm, kind of what YouTube's got. Kind of, yeah, I deal with that wire later. God dang it. Put this thing over.
It's falling.
Yeah, take care of this wire. Damn it. There. This is the thing. Quit worrying about approval. Quit worrying about clicks. Quit worrying about how much money you're going to make based on traffic. Quit. Tell the truth. Do what you did. That's what built it to begin with. You got brainwashed by this. I could see it coming in the whole entire Liberty community. It's like, yeah, but I got to have approval voting of my click or something, comment, whatever. I'm like, wow. And if that's all it takes, that's how they'll do it. They'll go, oh, it goes, you think I haven't seen it? I look, my Alexa rating, there's an Alexa rating. It's for what they do, relevancy in what category you're in so that you get the search engine, the whatever. That's the only thing I don't even look at traffic. You know, I don't care. I just want to see how they're rating the traffic. What are they, and I see it happen. We shoot up. When all this banning and everything, we tripled in traffic. Okay? I mean, I look enough to know what the big numbers are. But anyway, you know, I tripled in traffic. I mean, I don't care about in which article. I don't care. But it, boom, all of a sudden, we get, I'm going, wow, that won't last very long. Sure enough, Alexa, bam, they shoot it, push it down as we're going up. Because when it's starting to go, they go, damn, we got to change something. And then I can see they screw up, they do some algorithm with somebody else, or somebody, you know, back in the room did, and all of a sudden, boom, we'll shoot up again. And then, oh, damn it. And then they take a hammer and they beat it down. And when I see that, I don't get mad or sad or whatever. I just smile. I go, man, we must be over the target. So I'm looking at it totally differently than you guys are. You're looking for the approval of they, them, those that you're up against. Against their AI, against whatever, and the guys in the comment that's a troll from Payton, you know, in China, Russia, of a robot, of AI, of what, who cares? You'll stop. Tell the truth. That's what it was all about. We are changed. Truth media, blah, blah, blah. Do the, I mean, whatever. I mean, just do it. And who do I like more than anybody else? James Corbett, True Stream Media. These guys don't care. They go, of course they're going to do this stuff. And I'm going, where are you going to go? Well, that's what we created. The IPFS thing, you guys make fun of me a couple years ago. You're going, Ernie, here he comes. Now take another shot of whiskey. He's going to say IPFS. Damn freaking straight I am, because where the hell are you going? Well, we're trying.
No, we're, because we're too drunk now.
So you've signed the Shire Society deck.
Yeah, that's one. I mean, you know, I just want to, I'm like, now I'm not pulling any punches. I quit. Quit being pussies, man. You're so, yeah, but we got, you know, no. You don't really believe. You don't even know what you believe. You're just doing it because it clicks or something.
Well, part of it is because, I mean, at least with Josh, is, you know, his big concern is how do I pay rent next week?
Fine, say that. Give me money.
And he does say,
but don't sit there and you know serve the freaking AI.
But the thing is, what will make you more money?
Zog.
What will make you more money in the long term versus what will make you more money right now are competing conflicts. And so, I get it, and it drives
like
me.
Just kids.
From a
they
business,
don't understand.
From a business planning perspective, it sort of drives me nuts because I'm like, well, the real opportunity is doing X, Y, Z, but there's focus on, well, we need the YouTube revenue, even though Luke's not getting YouTube revenue. So now the new.
And you're not going to neither.
And so now we've got change. So for people who are out there, maybe this is probably the only second time I've been on since we started this, but we started to change the news channel. And probably should say for the real show, but to change the news channel. So we've gotten a little over 10,000 subscribers in this very short time span. And it's crazy that we get about as many views almost as what Josh will get, even though Josh has 140,000 subscribers.
Of course.
Because
2 years ago, Christmas ago, Josh was here. He had just hit his 100,000. He's going, woohoo, I hit my 100,000. I'm going to be 100,000. I'm going to get right out. I go, and now you're screwed. By that February, our Narcopoco, yeah? Tell me how proud you are now.
And that's why I didn't talk to me for 6 months, because he's like, oh, damn it, you told me to go stay with Ernie. That's right. I didn't know what I was getting myself into.
So. I'm just, you know, what? You know, am I going to get what? Some street cred or, you know, you're right or, yeah, we should. No. They're going to do what they're going to do because it's just like, yeah, old Gray, you know, he don't know what's up. You know, he's not with it, man. You got to be with it. And I'm like, how's that working out? while you guys were doing all that and worried about that, I was, you know, trying to cover my nut, making sure that, you know, that found people in support of the idea and the concept. And a lot of these people still, you know, support you guys. You know, they, yeah, I direct, I go, yeah, they're doing good work, going a little something, something. But if you guys start becoming victims of the algo and you're not, and you're looking for approval of AI, and, you know, I'm not even going to have to say anything to them. They're going to see it. They're going to know. And then who's going to be supporting you? Then you're going to be a bitch of Google? God, I you know,
like you think
what did you think was going to happen? What were you thinking? You know, Corbett, that's why we did IPFS. We really worked heavy and pushing the crap out of James Corbett because he saw it. He knew.
Yeah, him and Dan Dix, I feel like, are the two that are at the forefront of doing this. The in terms of, like, a big scale. I mean, obviously, you're, like, the godfather of sort of all this,
I didn't do it for the a lot of people. I get criticized. They go, Ernie, you should you know, take advantage of and be in part of and, you know, do the YouTube and how to get off YouTube or whatever the hell it was. I go, I got a plan, man. I know what my plan is. The plan is to be able to document all this so we can understand what happened, kind of like TrueStream Media, kind of like James Corbett, but in a little bit different, you know, we're on the street activist of influence and general public opinion thing. So I, you know, and this, but I could see it coming. That's why we wanted to do this. It was October that we kind of started talking about doing this. And then it kind of came together in December and people support kind of, boom, here we go. And I'd be like, and they go, Ernie, you picked the worst time. And I go, I picked the best time. This is where the rubber meets the road.
And I flipped from thinking that in late February, early March, to then flipping like, wow, this is actually the most important time in the history of the world to be talking about the vaccines now, which that flipped really quickly because they're making their move right now. I mean, this is, and, you know, Rahm Emanuel never let a good crisis go to waste. His brother, Ezekiel Emanuel, actually is the one that said, oh, we shouldn't give, like, any healthcare resources to people over the age of 75 because, yeah, you've lived a good life. And meanwhile, he was like 73 and a half when he was saying this.
It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
All roads lead to serfdom. You know, you let it. Yeah, I'm not sorry. I've been nice as possible to these guys and try and help and do what I can and promote and, you know, and whatever. But when it gets to the point that, you know, every decision is based on how many clicks they're going to get and what robot's going to give them approval of something, you know, I'm like, no, I know they're not doing anything for me or your audience or the people. You know, what are you doing? You're leading them down the path of whatever.
They are getting lots of hardcore info out there. I mean, I don't want to, you know, minimize that. So, I mean, there is a lot of, you know.
I tell you what it's like. It's just like, well, it's like with Dr. Judy Mikovits thing. Nah, I don't want to put it. It's exactly what happened with Del Bigtree when he was producer of The Doctors. Whenever he wanted to have some vaccine, kind of, nope, censored, can't have that. And you're sure as hell not talking about that. Big Pharma controls that. The WHO determines what is censored in America media. The WHO from the United, the WHO, the World Health Organization, Bill Gates, is what determines what goes on. The WHO. And I'm going, are you freaking kidding me? And you're buying into this, and I'm supposed to somehow feel better? What else are you doing? What else are you not telling me? What else the positions are you taking by the incentive of the clicks of the algos of how much demonetizes the money of the platform?
Now,
how much?
What else? We probably need to turn you down again. After this.
How's
it going?
Well, I want to make sure they hear it without the microphone. Anyway, so
your neighbors down the road.
I'm going, what else? Where's the line? Donna, turn the air conditioning back on, please. I go, what else? This is neon flashing example of exactly what I've been talking about. Exactly. This is how you are controlled. It's what they reward and what they punish. How much are they able to control what you say and, more importantly, what you don't say.
The high-tech Pavlovian system.
It's whatever is not covered. You know, it's not what they print. We knew this as activists dealing, you know, with the media. It wasn't what you printed. It's what you didn't print.
And now they're printing that there's freaking UFOs, so what the hell are they hiding now? So
this check is, your six. Yeah. What do I say? Whenever they do this kind of stuff, I go, check your six. Look behind you. I'm like, what the hell's coming now? They're doing, oh, here we go. You know, we got big, giant COVID. All of a sudden, boom, trillions of dollars went away. For COVID, they're going to get in research. Hell, they're not even going to get anything for 18 months. And that's going to be for something that's already mutated and not going to matter anyway.
And isn't there something, now I'm layman of, you know, second grade level on this stuff, but isn't there something to do with, like, RNAs that are changing your DNA of something with the new types of vaccines.
Well, this is where the XMNR, whatever, you know, that Dr. Judy keeps going on about. It's Mises pieces. I go, say that. You get that on an interview, national, you start saying, you go, well, they do Mises pieces. It's just little mouse, baby parts.
I don't know what that means either. Mises, I'm thinking Ludwig von Mises.
No. Mice.
Okay.
They take and they put mice in a blender. They take the cells from that, or when they're alive, and they put inject them with whatever, and then they take, that's what they call it, zoonosis, you know, from the zoo. They take all that. It's how you get AIDS from simian, how you get this bird flu from whatever, how you get, you know, and they inject it with RNA, which is not the double helix. It's a single one that goes into your cell, uses it, reads it, takes it, goes and inserts itself into your DNA to start replicating, get turns you into a chimera. It makes you into something else. And, you know, they'll tune out your, turn off this gene. You won't be so brave-hearty. You know, you'll be a little bit more docile. You'll get, you know, sick on this. Big Pharma, you're going to need, got an allergy.
It'll interact with
money.
The fluoride better to make you even more docile and mess
with
the pineal gland.
They're changing us. That's a big thing. And I don't even care. That's not even the point. It's, you're going to make me take some notion and potion for my kids, you know, and my grandkids.
While they're taking notes of who can't be changed so they can come and kill us and then say it's COVID. Oh, Ernie, right, guy with the bullet in his head, and
you
COVID.
You can't fly. You got your card? Did you get vaccinated?
Oh, the mother effers. I finally caved and got my TSA after basically because of James Corbett. I was always opting out, you know, probably going back to 2011.
I've never been through a scanner.
Yeah, opting out forever. And then I finally decided to cave. February freaking 19th is when I had my my global entry, like thing that was scheduled. And so coming back from Anarchapoco, I was wearing a mask just to be kind of a jerk. Remember coming on your show, I'm like, oh, we shouldn't say that because you're wearing a mask. And now it's like that's just a common thing. But I was wearing a mask to be a dick to TSA in my global entry interview. And I actually have that on tape, but I didn't know the legalities of me putting that out there.
Whatever.
So anyways, with... yeah, I finally cracked, and now like there's no one's flying, and there probably are no lines, and I wouldn't need to go through all the BS. So I just wanted to have it in case I was planning on going to all these conferences and speaking more and doing and being out there in the public more. And now like all that's gone to hell. So I figures I finally cave and get pre-check right as nobody freaking needs it anymore.
Yeah, there's no lines. You know, I'm you know, no lines. No, it's you know, no planes, but there's no lines, you know.
Now I've got my plane ticket, too. I didn't want to take the love bus with you and Donna to the Libertarian Convention. Now that's not going on, so.
No, I got called. Did you get called by the LNC rep?
I don't know. I don't get any
regional
messages.
Rep, he calls you like, Ernie, we really want, you know, what do you think about it? I think you guys need to lead. I think you guys need to man up, woman up, whatever. You know, show some guts. You know, I think you need to, you know, just go, well... We need, like, social distancing for the older members. I go, shut up. Stop. Just stop. I don't want to talk to you guys. Next. You guys do your meeting. You decide. You let me know, and I'll decide if I want to go. You guys suck. You know, because they're going to do some online voting electronics, some BS. You know, they're not going to lead.
I saw that it was Michael Heiss. Maybe you should get him back on, too. I saw Michael Heiss was posting something in some new LNC bylaw of something where they're saying that, you know, one of the potential options is the LNC can get together and just pick who the nominee is going to be, a.k.a. Justin Amash. And so, basically, Nick Starwark will have the veto power of being like, oh, yeah, we decide that we rule and we want Amash, you know, Mr. Republican Light, or maybe even Socialist Light. Let's just make fun of Trump. So
Judge Gray. They want somebody that's not. They sure as hell don't want Adam Kokesh just calling BS on the whole
thing. Now, you know who he's running with now?
McAfee.
Yeah.
You know? Live and let live, which is
well, Chris Wright. This guy, Chris Rice Crypto, interviewed him, and it was basically like a. It's sort of funny because they basically overtook his show and like made it into like a board meeting between McAfee and Kokesh. It was like the funniest thing to watch, and it's.
Well, then they have, and then of course Jacob Hornberger, Future Freedom Foundation, Bumper is. I think Bumper. I think that's why it's a transition into more. Just screw it all, kind of get one last chance.
Well, at least Amash will give more, maybe more exposure to people like Bumper because now that there'll be more, because I think...
Yeah, Amash's system, he's Koch. Koch has been running the Libertarian Party since forever.
He's there to bring down Donald Trump is what he is, his role in
this
whole
deal. No,
it's
what Koch's role is.
Yeah.
Koch industry, they don't like Donald because he doesn't play right. know, this is, you know, they just use the Liberty community to fund them getting their interest to Congress if I get more energy subsidy or something. You know, Coke is just, they use the Liberty. I'll say it right. Coke, we'll get on like it. The Coke-a-puss, Coke Industries, Coke, you know, Cato, Go Warren's, Coke, whatever the hell, uses the Liberty message in the Liberty community to be kingmakers to get what they want in Congress so that they get their goodies the way they want, be it the TARP, be it this, you know, subsidy crap. They're going to get theirs. I guarantee it. So I'm not a big fan of these guys. I, you know, what are they going to do? Pay me? I mean, you know what? This is all a game, and Amash represents that interest. Bumper Hornberger, Jacob Hornberger, he's the Ron Paul crowd. That's what's going on in this thing. Adam Kokesh, yeah, screw it, anarchist with just disillusionment of and bankruptcy and never mind crowd, which is, you know, going to have a lot more appeal as time goes on. But Bumper Hornberger, that's it. I'm going to get my bumper sticker. Big bumper sticker on the back of the bus.
I was the one that came up with that, yeah. The bumper sticker.
Of course you did. Yes. I'm looking forward to going. I was looking, and I knew they were going to do this. They're going to wimp out. And the hotel, like, well, where do you think we should? I don't know. Get a field. Have a private, you know, venue that's closed and they're not. You know, they'd love to make the bank tell the man to screw it. I would love to see the sheriff's department and the police department and the National Guard and the federal marshals and everybody invade the Libertarian National Convention at the private venue of the blah blah blah.
That'd be more free. That would be awesome. That'd be more free advertising than
that would be awesome. But you guys are too big of pussies to do it, to even consider it, to talk about it, to bring it up. I'm done. You guys, you know, I'm sick of this. I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? You know, and because, you know, Nick Sarwark, he's not gonna, you know, he's gonna do whatever hell he's told by whoever, whatever, you know. So I'm no.
Stratford.
I'm. That's not gonna be the solution. It's gonna be individuals and individual families and lone wolf of mama bear, papa bear, taking care of their own family. Wearing, not waiting for somebody to protect them, wearing their own gun, taking their kid hiking in the desert. You know what? You know how you end a lockdown? You ignore it. You know, I don't want to reform government. I just want to ignore them. Go pirate. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. That's what's going to happen. And we're going to document it across the country. And bring them all and get on videotape.